The next morning, Captain Robart went with them, riding beside Taita, when they set out in search of the berries. The pace was easy, and they had much opportunity to talk. After several hours, Tolas led them into a grove of enormous wild fig trees strung out along the bank of the river deep in the gorge. Most of the branches were draped with serpentine vines, upon which grew clusters of small purple-black berries. Fenn, Tolas, and three other men, whom Tolas had brought from the fort, climbed into the trees. Each had a leather harvesting bag slung round their neck, into which they packed their fruit. When they clambered down from the trees, their hands were stained purple, and the berries emitted a sickly, putrid odour. Fenn offered a handful to Whirlwind, but the colt refused it. Windsmoke was equally disdainful. "It is not to their natural taste, I grant, but if you mix the berries into durrameal and bake it into cakes, they will eat them readily enough," Tolas said. He lit a fire and placed flat river stones in the flames. While they heated, he demonstrated how to pound the fruit into a paste and mix it with the durrameal. "The proportions are important. One of fruit to five of the meal. Any larger amount of the berries and the horse will refuse it, or if they eat it, they will purge excessively," he explained. When the stones were crackling hot, he put handfuls of the mixture onto them and let it bake into hard cakes. He laid them aside to cool and began another batch. "The cakes will keep without spoiling for many months, even in the worst conditions. The horses will eat them even when they are covered with green mould." Fenn picked one up and burnt her fingers. She passed it from hand to hand and blew on it until it cooled, then took it to Windsmoke. The mare sniffed it, fluttering her nostrils. Then she took it between her lips and rolled her eyes at Taita. "Go on, you silly darling," he told her sternly. "Eat! It's good for you." Windsmoke crunched the cake. A few scraps fell out of her mouth, but she swallowed the rest. Then she lowered her head to pick up the pieces from the grass. Whirlwind was watching her with interest. When Fenn brought him a cake, he followed her example and ate it with gusto. Then he pushed Fenn with his muzzle, demanding more. "What dose do you give them?" Taita asked Tolas. "It was a matter of experiment," Tolas replied. "As soon as they show any symptoms of being fly-struck, I give them four or five cakes each day until the symptoms disappear, then continue the dose until long after they seem fully recovered." "What do you call the fruit?" Fenn demanded. Tolas shrugged. "The Utaza have some outlandish name for it, but I have never thought to give it an Egyptian one." "Then I shall name it the Tolas fruit," Fenn announced. And Tolas smiled, gratified. The following day, Taita and Fenn returned to the grove with Shofar, four troopers, and the equipment they needed to bake a large quantity of Tolas cakes. They set up camp in the midst of the grove, in a clearing that overlooked the dry bed of the Nile. They stayed there for 10 days and filled 20 large leather sacks with the cakes. When they returned with purple-stained hands and 10 baggage-loaded mules, they found Merin and his men eager to leave.